Good evening. It's great to be here again with you. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to read a portion from the book of Exodus, chapter 9. We know there were 10 plagues, so-called judgments of God upon the land of Egypt. I just want to read about one of them. In Exodus chapter 9. And we'll begin reading at verse number 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. This reading of a young man in one of Mr. Dwight L. Moody's meetings in a mining town in England many years ago. This man had been coming out night after night to hear the glorious gospel of Christ being preached, and God was dealing with the young man, making his sins very real to him. He felt the burden of his sin, and that is the great work of the Holy Spirit, to bring a person to that place, because it's only then that I will recognize my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man was so convicted, this young man. And now the meetings were coming to a close. And his fear was that if he left the meeting and went home, he might never get saved. He might never be in that frame of mind again, where his sins and his guilt were so real to him. This was a very special night for this young man. He actually refused to leave the meeting place. He told Mr. Moody, I'm not leaving until I get what I've been hearing about, what you have, and many have, forgiveness of sins, assurance of heaven. the peace of God in your hearts, which I can see, is manifested in all of your lives. And I want this so badly, Mr. Moody. Well, you know, Jeremiah tells us that anyone who seeks the Lord with all of their heart shall find the Lord. All the promises of God are in Him. Jesus Christ, our yea, and in Him, amen. So, needless to say, as the saying goes, the man found Christ as his Savior that night. God blessed the young man, and the revelation from God was given to him. And for the first time in his life, he realized why Jesus Christ was on that cross. He was there for me. He was there for my sins, that I might come to Him and believe on Him, embrace Him, and enjoy life in fellowship with the living God of heaven. He was gloriously saved. He went home. The young man told his mother and father and brothers and sisters of the great momentous occasion in his life when he was born again into God's family. It's nothing that you grow into. You know, I'm very privileged to talk to a lot of people, and well, I think I've always been a Christian. I do believe I'm speaking with someone who doesn't know what it means to be a Christian, a Christ one. We don't grow into it. It's a birth. It's a spiritual rebirth. Some men were telling about how they were saved, and some can remember the exact day they were saved. It's very dramatic in the lives of some people. But it's not so in other people. But they can remember a time in their life when God dealt with them and caused them to realize, I'm lost to God. If you never realize you're lost, you're never going to get saved. And they can tell you, maybe not the exact date, but the period of time in their life when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't hoping to go to heaven anymore. There wasn't even the slightest shadow of doubt, because they understood these are God's promises. Jesus died for me. I have my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, if I have my faith 100% in Him, not in anything else, I recognize there's no goodness in me. Sin dwelleth in me. The Apostle Paul actually said that. It's true of every man and every woman. And he'll be able to tell you, Christ became my Savior, and I became a Christian. Christ won. The word is with an apostrophe S. A Christ won. Someone who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man went to work the next day, and there was a terrible accident. He's lying on the floor of his workplace. He's going to be gone out into eternity within 90 seconds. And he knows it. And all his workmates know it. And they saw his lips move. And someone said, he's trying to tell us something.
And one man got down and put his ear close to his mouth. And this is what he said. It was a good thing I settled it last night. Little did he know, the next day he was going out into eternity. We challenge you tonight. How is it with your soul? Have you got the matter settled? Does Christ live in your heart by faith? Can you look people in the eye and say, I am as sure of heaven as though I was already there? If you cannot say that, my friend, we're glad you're here tonight. You're in the right place at the right time. Because the message that young man heard from Mr. Moody is the very same message you're hearing tonight. The gospel hasn't changed. It's the only message that can save a man's soul, a woman's soul. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And particularly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here tonight and the matter's not settled, may you get it settled tonight. There's something you have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate brought him forth and he said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he let the crowd answer for him. And they said, away with him, crucify him. But nobody can answer that question for you. And that's a question to ask yourself tonight. What shall I do then with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? May God bless you tonight. May you understand that if you're not saved and sure of heaven, then my friend, you sit here tonight lost and in your sins. We have in this account in the book of Exodus, as I mentioned, this is one of the judgments that God meted out upon the idolatrous land of Egypt. This was the hail. And notice that it says, verse 18, I will cause. I will. God didn't say I might, or I'm considering, or I'm thinking about it. It was already decided by God. I will cause. Judgment. The promise of judgment. And we have in the word of God the promise of judgment coming. Acts 9 and 27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die. But doesn't end there. And after death, the judgment. You know, there are so many people who think, I know I'm not perfect, but I think I'm good enough for heaven. I know I'm not bad enough for hell. Notice, I think, my heart tells me. I heard a minister say one time, we're all God's children, don't worry about it. Well, friend, your eternal soul is at stake. You're going to rest your eternity in what some man has said? I don't care how many letters he has after his name. How much he knows about the Bible. Your soul is at stake. It's the word of God. Paul was in Berea. Paul was preaching the gospel. He had been in Thessalonica preaching the gospel. He said of those Bereans, they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. This is the Apostle Paul. They didn't just take his word for it. They got together in companies in their homes, and they opened up the Old Testament. That's all that they had. And they proved those things that Paul said. God called them noble people. Acts 17:31, it says, God now commandeth all men, all women, everywhere to repent. Why is that? Why do I need to repent of my sin? Why do I need to turn and come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of my sins? It says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained, the Lord Jesus Christ. A promise of judgment because of sin, because of the rejection, of the Savior, his beloved Son. Revelation chapter 20. We have probably the most solemn scene in all the Word of God. There's a great white throne suspended in heaven. It says, heaven and earth have fled away, and upon the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, it says the dead, John saw it, the dead, small and great, standing before God. And they're not there to find out if they're getting into heaven or not. They already decided that. They didn't do anything with the Lord Jesus Christ. They might not have said, I don't want you, Lord Jesus Christ. But they just didn't do anything at all with him. And to neglect him is the same thing as rejecting him. And every one of those people are sentenced to the lake of fire for all eternity. A meeting was held by Mr. Torrey in London. After the meeting, he spoke to a gentlemanly young fellow. He stayed behind for conversation. His interest was piqued. Mr. Torrey said, are you a sinner? He said, well, not as you use that word. Mr. Torrey asked him another question. He said, do you believe that God loves you and that Christ died for you on the cross? He said, no, sir. Mr. Torrey said, or Dr. Torrey said, then young man, you are guilty of the greatest sin that a man can commit. That opened the young man's eyes. That's the greatest sin, the unpardonable sin, is to just go through your life without bowing the knee and making the Lord Jesus Christ the center, the focal point of your life. The greatest sin that can be committed. A promise of judgment. I will cause. Notice the pledge of certainty. God said tomorrow. Moses, you tell Pharaoh, it's tomorrow judgment is coming. Well, now we don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. He may come tonight. We do believe as God's people, his coming is very, very near. He's even at the door. It's been 2,000 plus calendar years since he was here and died for our sins. Second Thessalonians 1 says, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, if you don't obey the gospel, you'll never be in heaven. Doesn't matter how good a person you may be. A kind wife, husband, father, mother, employee, employer, neighbor, citizen. Those things aren't the issues. Maybe you've sat in church every Sunday. Maybe you've knelt down by your bed and said prayers every night. Maybe you've read your Bible a lot. Good things. Those are not the issues. Have you obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you taken the place of sinner? In your heart of hearts, have you told God, I do believe that this is thy word, and I am no better than anybody else in this entire world. Even the ones that are locked up for life in prison because of their evil deeds. I know in thy sight, God, I'm the same as they are. I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. And I know that if I die in my sins, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I cannot go to heaven, John chapter 8. It's not a matter of interpretation. He spoke plainly. If ye die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. How else can you interpret that? A little child will tell you. If you die in your sins, whither I go, you cannot come because you haven't obeyed the gospel. You never repented of your sin. You never took the lowly place of condemned sinner and received me as your Savior. Then you need to escape, friend, from your sins. I did so 25 years ago, April 29th. Just had a spiritual birthday, sitting in a chair in St. John, New Brunswick. I finally obeyed the gospel, and I turned from going my own way and thinking that I was a pretty good person. I realized I wasn't a pretty good person. God says there's none good, no, not one. Our hearts deceive us. Satan deceives us, and so does this world. I was in a drugstore in St. John. We had 2 weeks of gospel meetings that came to a close 2 weeks ago. I was in a drugstore buying something one afternoon, and there were two girls standing there, one 15, the other around 12. And they were waiting for the cashier, and they had some chips and chocolate bars and some soda. The cashier hollered out, I'll be there in a minute. I'm busy for a moment. So we waited. I'm waiting. I'm in no big hurry. And then this girl, 15 years old, said this. Her coming is slower than the coming of Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe my ears. And I couldn't help myself. I had to speak. I didn't care who heard me. I said, my dear, you should never, ever speak that way. You hear people say it slower than the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why he hasn't returned? I told you, because he loves you. That's why he hasn't returned. He loves this world of lost sinners. That's why the door is still open. Even tonight, thank God, the door of heaven is still open. Now, isn't God good to you to bring you here tonight to this place where the miracle of salvation can take place? If you'd only turn in your heart, childlike faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him. Peter asks the question, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Well, we're given the answer in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, they shall not escape. There's only one place of safety, and that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in some great religion. It's not in any religion. It's not in good works. The place of safety is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I either know Him as my Savior, and I have love in my heart for Him, and the agenda of my life is to please Him, or I'm living for myself. So which is it for you tonight, friend? God will let you live for yourself. That's the solemn truth. He doesn't force anyone to come and believe on His Son. But He would have you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's what you have to do tonight. Come to repentance. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either in Christ and saved and sure of heaven, or you're in your sins. The only place of safety in Noah's day was the ark, and the ark was completed. And that's a picture of Christ. How many doors were there in the ark? We know there was only one door. That's significant, because heaven has one door. The Lord Jesus Christ pronounced the name of the door. He said, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If you don't enter in, you'll never be saved, because you're in your sins. And in chapter 7 of Genesis, God said, come to Noah and his family. Now they had to respond, didn't they? They could stand outside and say, well, we built that ark. God gave us the design. God gave us the grace, the help. We built it. We know it's seaworthy. And we know when the flood comes, that ark's not going to sink. But if they stood there talking about it and expressing their confidence in it, they would have died and perished like everyone else. They had to obey God, didn't they? And they made their way in through the one door. And friend, that's what God wants you to do. So we have here a plea to escape. Moses is delivering a message for all the Egyptians, for their servants. Judgment is coming. It's certain it's coming tomorrow. And then a plea to escape. Send therefore and gather. And that this is likened to, it's a picture of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45 and 22, Jesus Christ says, look unto me. Isaiah 46 and 3, hearken unto me. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me. Revelation 22, 17, three times, last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible, and the last invitation in the Bible, and three times in that one verse, we have come, come. Whosoever will, let him come, take the water of life freely. A plea to escape. Mount Vesuvius erupted, what was it, 79 AD. Many were entombed in that molten lava. It came so quickly. During the excavations, many have been carried out. During this particular one at Pompeii, the whole city was covered in lava. These French workmen uncovered a little boy about 5 years old with his arms outstretched. And one of the men said, it looks like he's appealing to someone. And so they dug in the direction of those stretched out arms. And you know what they found? They found his mother. And her arms were outstretched. Arms of love outstretched in vain. Now all your life, the Lord Jesus Christ has been stretching forth his hands of love, pierced hands onto you, beckoning you to come. And the good news is, friend, you can come tonight and be saved by faith. Come. Be born again. Get into the place of safety. Aren't those lovely words brought home? I've been away from home for a while. I mentioned we had 2 weeks of gospel meetings. I was home for a couple of days and gone again. I'm looking forward. I'm enjoying thoroughly every day of my visitation down here in the United States and sharing God's word. But I'll be glad when I'm brought home to my wife and the comforts of home. That's what it's like to be saved. Brought home. God has brought me home. I'm in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day I'm going to be in heaven for eternity, for he's promised me. We all need to be brought home. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53 and 6. In the Psalms it says they go astray as soon as they be born. We're all born lost sheep. And that's why we all need to be born again. All astray in the world, in the place of promised judgment. This world is like Egypt back then. Judgment is coming. God's promised it. It's a pledge he's made. The word field is mentioned 7 times in these few verses. And that's interesting because the field in the Word of God is a picture of the world in which we live. And the word Egypt is a picture of the world consistently in the Bible, living independently of God. It's mentioned 6 times. So it's a very apt picture. Where's the place of safety? Again, here's a lovely verse from Isaiah 32 and 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert, a shelter, a protection from the tempest as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The place of safety is in a man, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a forest fire raging along the slopes of the Sierra Madre mountain range. An older man who was an Indian, everybody just called him Old Indian Joe, he went up on his horse to a slope to survey this massive fire destroying the forests. He got so absorbed in this awesome sight that he forgot to look around him, and he sees he is becoming surrounded with fire. He got off his horse, took the saddle off it, and gave it a slap on the rump, and sent that horse off, he hoped, to safety. And then he noticed a large rock, and there was a space underneath that rock. And he dove through the flames, and he hid himself underneath the rock. And the flames came and went over that rock and scarred that rock and blackened that rock. But when the fire was over, this man came out from underneath that rock unscathed. He found a place of safety. He hid himself in a great rock. And that's just a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fire of God's judgment fell upon his lovely son as he hung on the cross. blackened and scarred, as it were. He said from above, thou hast sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that's why he can say, come unto me. I'm the rock of safety. What a lovely verse. A man shall be as an hiding place. Tonight, this man, Jesus Christ, is calling you to come and believe on him. A promise of judgment, a pledge of certainty tomorrow, a plea to escape, and that's what the gospel is. Come to the place of safety and notice the passion of urgency. Now, those Egyptians were told, get your men and the cattle out of the fields and bring them into a place of safety and do it now because judgment is coming. Just as sure as I'm talking to you, judgment is coming. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, this isn't some message that God expects you to take home with you and meditate and dwell upon for the next few weeks. He expects you to come now, tonight, to his son. Believe on him and be saved. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. He tells us why. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I may not be here tomorrow. Or he may have returned before the sun rises tomorrow. And so is the passion of urgency. There was a wrecked vessel on the rocks on the Cornish coast. A lifeboat could not get out to that vessel going down. There were four men. They threw out a rocket rope. Three men get on that rope, and they found their way to safety on the shore. And the fourth man hesitated, clinging to the mast. He hesitated. One chance remained. And the rescuer shouted this, now or never, that he'd understand, now or never. And they threw the rope, and he missed the rope. And the next wave took him down to his death. Now, friend, don't miss it. The rope, the lifeline from God's heaven, is being thrown out to you tonight. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, perhaps, or never for you. And God speaks to your heart tonight and wakes you up to the realization that I'm not saved, God. Then, friend, get saved tonight. Take Christ as your Savior tonight. Saw something lying on the floor underneath our mailbox a few years ago. Picture of a very slippery road and a turn. And it says, no one knows what lies ahead. The greatest mistake we can make is to presume that we do. I thought it was a gospel tract. It's from an insurance company. But they're right on the money. That's the greatest mistake you can make. Is to presume. I know what lies ahead. I've got time to get saved. I'll be around next week. I'll be around next year. And I don't think Christ will have returned by then. Well, my friend, maybe it's now or never for you tonight. Passion of urgency. And then finally, we just have the two classes of people, don't we? We have the protected people. And the perishing people. That's it. When it's all said and done, when the curtain comes down on this world, that's it. Two classes of people. those that found the place of safety in Christ, protected people and the perishing people. And notice the difference. What made the difference in the two? He that feared the word of the Lord. The protected people. A wise person takes the warnings of God seriously and receives the protection provided in Christ. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job said, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sometimes you hear people say, why are those Christians so narrow-minded? They take the word of God so seriously. Well, it's intended to be taken seriously. And we want you to know tonight, God is a very serious person. He died on Calvary's cross for our sins. The protected people, he that feared the word of the Lord. And who are the perishing people? He that regarded not the word of the Lord. That's what it boils down to. I believe the word of God. I have a fear of judgment. Or I do not regard the word of the Lord. I still have some doubts as to the things that are said in the Bible. My friend, you can die in your doubts, you'll die in your sins, and you'll be lost forever. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, Jude 7, and the cities about them in like manner. This is thousands of years ago, but listen. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Do you know that word's in the present continuous tense? They've been suffering for thousands of years. Not over at the grave. We all know that. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says God's put eternity in our hearts. That's why we're afraid to die. We know there's something after death. I'm leaving my body and I'm going somewhere. And the only ones who die in peace and assurance are those who are God's people. 2 Thessalonians 1, them that perish. Why did they perish? Because they believed not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. These are people who didn't want the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. They were content with themselves and the way life was going, and they kept him at arm's length. And so they'll die the same way they lived, without Christ. Without Christ, there's no hope, plainly. Excuse me. In closing, in the American War, the Honorable George Henry Stuart, an evangelist, was passing through a camp, and he was challenged by the sentry. What's the password, sir? He gave the wrong password. He didn't know it. The sentry said, Mr. Stuart, it's my duty to shoot you dead right now. But I know you, sir. You go to the general, you get the right password, then you come back, and I'll give you a second chance. So he went and got the password, came back. The sentry said, tell me the password. He didn't matter. He was the honorable whoever. God's no respecter of persons. What's the password? He gave him the password. He said, you can enter in. But Mr. Stewart was going to let this opportunity slip through his fingers. No, sir. He said, young man, you were properly anxious about my having the right password. Let me ask you a question, young man. Do you have the right password for eternity? And he smiled and said, yes, sir, I do. It's Jesus died for me. And friend, that's it. And there is no more. That's the password. Jesus died for me, my sins. And the word of God promises, whosoever will, if I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God declares that individual saved and in the family of God for time and for eternity. May God bless you tonight. If by chance anyone is here and you're still in your sins, may you let God lift you up out of your sins tonight and embrace you and bring you to himself that you might be saved. Shall we pray?